Warning. This podcast may contain spoilers from whatever TV show or movie is mentioned. Please listen at your own discretion. Welcome to Viewers Anonymous.
Yo, what's going on? I am Scoops Bronson.
And I am S.Dot Foster.
That's right, and you're tuned into another episode of the Viewers Anonymous podcast where we give you our very own reviews and takes of movies and TV straight out of Hollywood. My brother. It was a quick decision to change up because I don't know if you remember, but I definitely didn't remember. I totally forgot that the Oscars was this past weekend. So, you know what I'm saying? I hit you up. We talked about it. And, you know what I'm saying? We had to go ahead and cover it. Even though for the past years, we never covered the award shows, but we had to talk about actually covering the award shows. You know what I'm saying? We thought that would be a smart move to do that since we do cover film and TV. So, 2024 Oscars is today's episode, ladies and gentlemen. Just in case you guys are confused, I know we gave you the coming soon last episode, but last minute ditch effort, we had to hurry up and switch it up. But I think that it was a smart move on our behalf because we got a lot to talk about.
Oh yeah, it's definitely a lot to talk about because, you know, for the avid listeners to our podcast, like we are always speak about like how we both aren't really like huge into the Oscars simply because of like some of the movie choices, like some of the people who are either Oscar voters or, you know, movie critics and things like that. I honestly be believing that. I just think that this is a situation where a lot of the times like the wrong people be in the room. And I'm not out to, you know, out anybody, anything like that, but it's just the fact of like me and you was going over just the things that we've seen.
Right.
And I think the films that was all mentioned, I think I might have seen five.
Hey,
you know what I mean?
And the crazy part is I seen three.
And it's crazy, man. And it's like I'm looking at like a lot of the movies. We did a top. What did we do? Top 10 movies?
I think we did top 10. Yeah.
Yeah. And like, and at the time, I had only seen one at the time.
Yeah.
So it's definitely disappointing in that realm. But really, why? Because like, I've never really like sat down and really watched like the whole Oscars.
Mm-hmm.
Like this was like the first time I really like sat down and like watched the whole thing.
Same.
And it was just like, okay, I don't get it.
Snooze fest.
You know what I'm saying?
Complete snooze fest.
You know what I'm saying? I don't get it. And like the thing is, like it's cool for people to get acknowledgement. But it's also like one of those things where it's very diminishing when it's like when you come out with a product and it's like the standards that they have is just completely opposite of your standards. But if you don't have this, this don't get you that pay rate. That's just like with the Grammys. It's like you can go out and you can have, you know what I'm saying, the top selling album or whatever the case may be, but you don't win a Grammy for it. Mm-hmm. But it's like, but you could come out with a mediocre album and you can get a Grammy and your pay rate raise.
It's like,
you know what I'm saying? It's just like they put this stamp on the Oscars and the Grammys, but unfortunately, in my opinion, S. Dot Foster's opinion, is that I just don't be feeling like the right people be in the room.
I agree. I 100% agree. It was some presenters that we seen that night who I feel, you know what I'm saying, should have definitely been in a lot more roles last year. Number one, Octavia Spencer. Where has she been? You know what I'm saying? I thought that was a face that we really haven't seen in a long time. Very versatile. I think that she can, you know what I'm saying, be pretty much in any movie. I've seen her do some some comedy. I've seen her do some serious roles. We seen her in horror, or not horror, but thriller. You know what I'm saying? When she did, what was that, Ma? Or
yeah, Ma.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? Like, so we've seen her really, like, get in her bag and do her thing. So I think she definitely needs to be on screen a lot more this year. If not this year, for sure next year, early next year, we need to see her face. Melissa McCarthy, I feel like she needs to be in a lot more movies as well. I'm trying to think, who else did I see out there, man?
Marsha Ali was there. Regina King was there.
Yeah. Now, with him, I'm going to be honest with you. I don't know if the whole Blade thing is still going down, because I haven't seen any updates or any new news about it. But I'm assuming, like, if that's the case, that's probably why we haven't seen him as much. And I'm hoping that's the case. But if not, then yeah, he needs to definitely be getting some calls very, very soon. Because speaking of him, I went back and watched Luke Cage, the first season. Mm-hmm. Yo, masterpiece. That might have been some of the best, like, TV or comic TV that we've seen in a long time, bro. Like, him as Cottonmouth was amazing, bro. Amazing. He did a hell of a job in that show. That was a great... I'm mad they killed him off early, but that was a great show.
But Bushmaster wasn't bad either, though.
He was... Okay, I agree. He was great for the action, right? Like, I think that his... You know what I'm saying? Because he was actually going toe-to-toe. He was... You know what I'm saying? He made the show a lot more... He gave it a faster tempo, right? Mm-hmm. And this is why I say I don't think they should have killed his character off. Because imagine those two with Cottonmouth still in the mix, and now, you know what I'm saying, all three of them are beefing because these two on the streets, you know what I'm saying, they doing their little gang war thing, and then Luke Cage trying to clean all that up. Man, that shit would have been crazy, bro. That'd have been crazy.
No, nah, I feel you. Yeah, there were some people who presented some awards that it's like, yo, like, where they at? And mm-hmm. like, and then what really got me was, and I did like some of the, because like you said, most of it really was a snooze fest for the most part. The whole John Cena thing, that was trying.
Oh, yeah, unnecessary. Unnecessary, yeah.
They tried way too hard to get a bit off. That wasn't funny.
But I think, like, that was their version of being edgy, though. Like, trying to do something that would get people talking. You don't need... We've seen John Cena without his shirt on before. Nigga wrestle. We get it.
Yeah, exactly. So, it was like that. To me, that was a reach. They were trying too hard.
I agree.
I like the whole thing of, like, where they had Emily Blunt and... was it Margot Robbie? When they was up there, they were saying that how it was supposed to have been a robbery.
Barbie and Oppenheimer. Yeah,
yeah,
but at the time, nothing won yet.
Yeah. And that was like, so that was funny because neither one of the movies won anything yet.
Right.
So it was kind of like, oh, okay. I like how y'all did that there. Yeah. Like that. And that was organic.
It felt organic.
Yeah, because I'm thinking that they thought that they were supposed to win some shit at that point.
Barbie definitely did.
Yeah, for sure. But no. The first award that was given out, which you ended up missing because you thought it started at 8 and it was at 7.
Yes, I missed the whole hour damn near of the show.
I think they knew what awards are being given out. You know what I'm saying? You know. And Emily Blunt was up for Best Supporting Actress.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think nobody saw Divine Joy Rudolph winning that shit for the holdovers.
Okay, so let's go to that real quick. You said Best Supporting Actress, right?
Yes.
And that was... Hold on. Okay. So that was Emily Blunt for Oppenheimer, Danielle Brooks for The Color Purple, America Ferrera and Barbie, and then Jodie Foster for Nyad or whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so, I mean,
So I'm thinking that they were thinking that. If, now, don't get me wrong. Now, see, I seen both of these movies. Now, I can actually talk about this shit.
Yeah.
Emily Blunt, she did a phenomenal job.
Right.
Playing Kitty.
Yeah.
And also, man, I like how, you know what I'm saying, she fucking held her own. Because, see, my man did it in the, see, you missed the opening monologue.
Mm-hmm.
And he talked about that whole scene where he talked about Emily, he brought up Emily Blunt and talked about how, you know, how it was so great to watch her, like, at the end when she wouldn't shake my man's hand. Mm-hmm. When they was old.
Yeah.
And, like, he was just saying, like, you know, how that was great and all this type of stuff. So she did a real great job. Now, Divine Joy Rudolph and the Holdovers.
Mm-hmm.
Now, don't get me wrong. Paul Giamatti did a great fucking job. Now, he, Cillian Murphy. Cillian Murphy.
Yeah.
But Paul Giamatti did a great job in that movie. Like, if those two people weren't in it, this movie would have been a snooze fest. But I had seen the previews for this movie when I went to the movies to see Oppenheimer. They showed this the preview for it. And I was like, okay, that look all right. Then I saw they put it on Peacock. I said, all right, well, let me give it a watch. Man, if those two people wasn't in it, because basically what the movie's about, right? So it's about so Paul Giamatti is a professor at a college. And Rudolph, she is a cook. So when it's the summer break or the winter break, I think it was the winter break. So the winter break, all the students leave, but it's called the holdovers because there's always a few students who can't go home for whatever reason.
Right.
So there ended up being like five or six students that was left over. And Paul Giamatti is one of those professors. Nobody like him. He is the toughest grader of any professor there. Nobody likes him, but it's one of them classes that you kind of got to take to graduate or whatever. Yeah. So, like, staff don't like him. The students don't like him, all that type shit. So he was chosen to be one of the teachers to stay and watch the holdovers. And the reason why Divine didn't leave was because her son had just died. He was in the military. He had just died. So she didn't really want to go anywhere. She didn't have anywhere to go because the son died.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, long story short, so all of the students, like, something happened where they was able to end up go home, except one student. And what it was, the one student, mom, like, she asked him to stay because she met this new guy. Because his parents had split up. And his dad was, like, in a mental institution. So obviously couldn't go to with his dad. And his mom basically told this motherfucker, yo, like, can you just give me this Christmas break? You stay your ass there at the school by yourself because I'm trying to, you know what I'm saying, get this new dude or whatever.
What a fucking bitch.
Yeah. Fucking ditched her son so she can fucking
get with this dude
on Christmas.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So anyway, so she's, like, all broken up about her son dying.
Mm-hmm.
And this kid, you know, he's wilding. He's pissed off because his mom don't want to see him. Anyway, him and Paul Giamatti end up, all three of them end up building, like, this kinship where they end up becoming, like, really, really good friends over this winter break. Like, basically what it was. And then Paul Giamatti end up getting fired because he took the kid to go see his dad in the mental institution and the mom didn't want him to see his dad. And so they told on him and got him fired. But
what a fucking bitch. Oh my goodness.
But the movie was, like I said, if it wasn't Paul Giamatti and it wasn't Divine Joy Bryant, this movie would have been bad. It would have been a little boring. But they spiced it up. And for her to win that first award over Emily Blunt, I think that turned a lot of people like wow, you know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah.
But she did really good, and I'm not saying it's not deserving, right. But you know, but out of that, that's my whole take on that. But the opening monologue, it was pretty good. Her speech was really good. Shit, Paul Giamatti was over there. He was literally crying for her, man, because she gave a good speech on saying that how, you know, how she just didn't think that, because basically she told a story of, like, she started out singing, mm-hmm. and her, it was a theater across the street, and her mom told her that, I think that that's where you need to be. She's like, I think you got a place over there. And if you see her, you know, she's not your typical actress. You know, she's, you know, bigger woman. You know, she's not the most beautifulest woman. You know what I mean? Yeah. So for her to, you know what I'm saying, to come in and get this Oscar the way that she did, you know what I'm saying, mm-hmm. over the lineup that it was, man. It was really good thing to see, for the first award to be given out.
Shout out to her mom, though. Because let me tell you something. Larger black women singing, dime a dozen.
Yeah.
Dime a dozen. But seeing them on film, you don't see them like that.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? You don't see them like that. That's what I'm saying. You don't really get to see them like that. So shout out to her mom for seeing something in her that she couldn't see in herself at the time. That's dope. That's super, super dope. I'm gonna be honest with you. I was in the middle of playing NBA 2K during her winning. So I watched her win. I didn't pay no attention to her speech. I'm not gonna lie to you. But I was happy, you know what I'm saying, to see her on stage accepting her award. I think that was, especially starting at the gate, that was something dope to see, because let's be honest, we don't see a lot of, you know what I'm saying, a lot of us on the stage, man or woman, honestly. And I'm gonna be another honest with you, man. I feel like there was a snub, you know what I'm saying? A huge snub. And I feel like my man Jeffrey Wright, bro, he should have got nominated at some point in time. You know what I'm saying?
So that would have been that. Well, no, because wait, that's support.
Did that come out this year or did that come out last year?
You're talking about American Fiction, right?
Yes.
Well, so Sterling K. Brown got nominated for supporting actor.
Right.
So he would have been
Lee Rowe.
No, Jeffrey Wright was. Yes, he was.
He was nominated?
Yeah, Killian Murphy won.
I didn't see them show him. Okay, so I take that back. I appreciate that then. So yeah. Sterling K. Brown too, bro. we gotta see him a lot more in film.
But for who he lost to this year.
Oh no, I'm not even talking about winning. I'm just talking about being nominated. Because I think that, like you spoke about how, you know what I'm saying, them winning, that boosted up. Yo, nominated, that boosted up too.
That boosted up too, yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And I feel like with what he brings to film, he definitely deserves to get a lot more roles. You know what I'm saying? Sterling K. Brown is amazing. Like, go back and, well, you probably definitely watched This Is Us, because that's in your, like, you didn't? Okay, I'm about to say, because that's in your wheelhouse. Like, that's something that you'll definitely watch. I seen a couple episodes because my ex used to watch it all the time, but he was phenomenal in that shit, bro. Like, he's nice on the stage, for real.
Yeah, I heard, but I never watched it. But, like, that this year, even though I've only seen two, but this year, this actors in the supporting role was stacked. But Sterling K. Brown nominated. You had Robert De Niro for Killers of the Flower Moon nominated. Ryan Gosling for Barbie. I haven't seen Poor Things, but Mark Ruffalo is Mark Ruffalo.
Yeah, for sure. But, like you said, heavy hitters. All through and through, heavy hitters. Now, I will say this. Robert Downey Jr. for sure was supposed to win that. Because the ending of Oppenheimer, when he had that monologue, bro. You talking about a masterclass, bro? Come on, man. Robert Downey Jr., I mean, I forgot this nigga was Iron Man for a minute.
Dude, this movie made me forget he was Iron Man.
I started hating him. I'm like, bro, I really hate this nigga. I really hate this character. This character is an asshole, bro. Like, through and through, like, everything about this dude is a trash bag. Like, he started off you know what I'm saying, coming in, you thinking that, you know what I'm saying, he showing love to Oppenheimer, he helping him out. And then at the end, bro, when you find out what was really going on, all because of this nigga was cool with Albert Einstein and he thought some shit was said, I was like, this nigga's a bitch. Like, what is that? I'm like, yo, bravo, bro. Yeah, nah, Robert Downey Jr., man, he really, he showed his tail in that movie, man, for sure. So I really wasn't mad at that. But I feel like if he didn't get it, Robert De Niro definitely second, close second. He deserved that one. If it wasn't Robert Downey Jr., Robert De Niro, because him playing that role in Killers of the Flower Moon. Let's get into it, man. Look, okay. So first and foremost, I didn't see a lot of Killers of the Flower Moon nominees.
Right? I believe, if I'm not mistaken, I can go count it, but I think they went 0 for 10.
Okay, so 0 for 10. And as far as the acting, it's what, him, Lily Gladstone. Yeah, them was the only two.
That's it. I think they just got nominated for like other stuff.
Yeah,
like,
see, that's what I'm saying. Out of the acting, like, it was cinematography. I didn't expect that to win cinematography. Costume design, I feel like they definitely could have possibly won, but I mean, it's when you're doing that time period piece thing, it's a little weird. Directing, I feel like Scorsese could have won that.
Yeah.
Editing. Oppenheimer, man, you can't touch that editing, bro.
Yeah,
the switch from color to black and white, and then the cuts that they had, you can't mess with that. Makeup and hairstyling, I feel like now that I feel like they should have definitely been nominated in. Music, I know they was nominated, but you know, so I mean, like, yeah, they definitely got in there, but I'm gonna be honest with you. So let me know, because we talked about the theories as to why Killers of the Flower Moon didn't get any wins. And I'm gonna be honest with you. I think that because of the portrayal of Robert De Niro's character in this film, and on top of that, Leo is in this film as well. I think that's, you know, that's what it is. Like, you can't have that portrayal of a character, and especially who he's supposed to be, with this being a period piece and it's supposedly being based on a true story, especially with everything that was going on, especially with the way society is right now. Like, you can't give him an award for that.
I think it's partially that.
Mm-hmm.
I also believe that it's the fact of, like, okay, so when you look at slavery, right?
Mm-hmm.
For the most part, it's universally known. You know what I mean? Like, you know, they'll come out with different little stories here and there. But we've got so many slave movies that came out. You know what I'm saying? So, like, you know what I'm saying? We know for the most part. I think that when it comes to, because of the way that black people were viewed in those times, I think a lot of people aren't really sympathetic to a lot of the stuff that was going on. What I mean is, like,
still viewed.
Yeah. Still, you know, viewed. What I mean? Because, yeah. I think that they kind of looked at it like, that's okay, what they're supposed to be. Like, yeah, okay, so he raped the slaves. You know what, though? But them slaves were, well, the kids that were born from slavery, they still were slaves too. You know what I'm saying? They were just the house nigga, you know?
Right.
And so I think that they didn't, like, some people don't really look at that like, all right, whatever. But I think that because in this case, there are so many mistakes where they didn't really want to reward this movie. This is what I mean by so many mistakes, right?
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, you put these people on reservations, right?
Right.
But you fucked up and put them on a landmine. Like, you put them in, you know what I'm saying, in the most wealthiest areas. And it's like, oh, shit. So how are we going to clean this up? Okay, this is how we're going to clean up. So the next mistake is, so we just going to get our men to marry all of their women. Okay? So we can clean that up. But here's another mistake. Then y'all have kids with them, so y'all kids can fucking take over these lands. And then you manipulate the people. And it's like,
not only, you forgot the major part. It was killing these motherfuckers off.
Yeah, and then it was killing them. Like, so it's like, I feel like with the slavery movies, I don't think they look at a lot of the stuff as like really mistakes. But then the big key part is, this was a story that probably most people didn't know about.
Never heard of.
You know what I'm saying?
I had never heard of this.
And for this to be brought to the light, they like, yo. They sitting back there like, yo. Because, I mean, look, we know. Like, let's be honest. Like, it's probably like, if it's 10 people in there, you know what I'm saying? Like, 9 of them white. And it's probably only because, you know what I'm saying, people kept talking about how Oscar's so white, they had maybe had to put a black person in the room. So it's probably, they probably in there like, yo.
That's what I said with the temperature of today's society, bro, to give anybody in that movie, in that portrayal, an award.
Yes.
Is like, I think they feared the look of it more so than what it would have really meant, right? Because what it would have really meant was just that he did a hell of a fucking job in his role. And I think the genius of it from Scorsese and everybody behind it was to put Robert Downey Jr. in that role. And if you know anything, Robert De Niro. Robert De Niro in that role. If you know anything about Robert De Niro, you know that, you know what I'm saying? Like, Robert De Niro really fucks with everybody.
Oh, yeah, he brought his black wife too.
That's what I'm saying. You know what I'm saying? Like, he fucks with everybody. But I'm just not even that though. Just like, he fucks with everybody. Like, you never heard a bad story from anybody in Hollywood, really, about Robert De Niro. You know what I'm saying? Like, he's just a great person overall. The second part of what I was saying though, and I think this really had a lot to do with it, was it was Leonardo DiCaprio. We know how the Oscars have done him throughout the years. He literally just won his first what with The Revenant?
Yeah, which is probably his worst fucking movie.
I don't think he ever won with Gatsby.
That's his only win.
What I'm saying. So now you got him in another one, a banger. And he don't even get nominated for, you know what I'm saying? Leo. He don't even get nominated for Leo.
Yeah, he would. So, I don't think he would have been lead though, because if Robert De Niro, lead. But Robert, so what? It's two leads.
Robert De Niro wasn't a lead. He was a supporter.
He was nominated for
supporting actor.
Was it support? Yeah, it was support. Yeah. He was just supporting.
Because Lily Gladstone got, I think she was lead actress. Yeah, Lily Gladstone was lead actress. Felt she could have won that. Oh man, I really felt she definitely could have pulled that.
I thought she was gonna win.
So the winner was Emma Stone for Poor Things, like you said. The nominees were Annette Bening, Lily Gladstone, Sandra Huller, and Carrie Mulligan. I'm be honest with you. I feel like Lily Gladstone is a very close. That's like damn near 1A, 1B for me. And I haven't seen Poor Things, but Emma Stone is Emma Stone. So I'm sure that, you know, I mean, Annette Bening is Annette Bening too, but I'm sure Emma Stone did what she had to do. But I feel like Lily Gladstone could have definitely won that one easily.
I mean, I thought she was, man, because they gave her a little when he did the monologue, and he was talking about how she wasn't acting anymore.
Right.
She was actually working as the people like to hunt down like those killer hornet joints that was here or whatever. And that's what she was doing. And Robert De Niro, Martin Scorsese called her for this role. So she was like done acting.
Yeah, and she came back and murdered. She
came back and murdered this shit.
Hold on, wait, time out. I'm sorry, I just heard what you just said. You said she was hunting down killer hornets?
Yeah, she was doing like the research and stuff on the killer hornet. Remember we had that whole killer hornet thing that was going on?
Yeah.
That's what she was doing. Like, that's what her job was. She wasn't acting.
Okay, do you know about the killer hornets?
I remember hearing about it, how they flew here from like Japan or some fucking shit.
Okay, because they got this. I seen this one shit on TikTok. This is off the rails for real, but you just said that. That just made me think of this. I seen this one video on TikTok where they got this hornet that like remembers who you are. Like it got a great memory. And like if you don't kill it, it will come back and find you. And then like they were saying, like it can go back to the colony and somehow communicate with the colony what you look like, even though none of them ever seen you, they will all find you.
Yeah, that's crazy.
This has been this is now entered like the top 10 fears of my life now. I never want to come across one of these ever in my life, bro. I seen this, I'm like, yo, if this thing is real, bro, we gotta get out of America. But no, back to Lily Gladstone, like, yeah, she really did a phenomenal job in this role. And I think that, like I said, I think she definitely could have came in if Emma Stone didn't win. Because that movie, just in general, another reason I think that movie also didn't get its just desserts was because it was an Apple production. I think that had a lot to do with it.
I mean, I hear you, but I mean, you know, it still came out in the theaters first. It had its run in the theaters before they released it on Apple.
But I'm saying just production wise, it was an Apple production. We don't get to, because okay, the last joint Scorsese did like this was The Irishman.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying, and it came out on Netflix, but it was also in theaters. So,
yes.
And I'm trying to think. That was around the time. That was either right before COVID or like after COVID. I want to say was, right before.
It was right there. Like it was right there.
So, but even then, like that one got some sort of recognition, right?
I think The Irishman did.
Because I think they won.
I'm gonna look it up, but
okay.
I think Martin Scorsese is the guy that they really cannot control him.
No,
and I honestly don't think that they wanted this movie to be made.
I agree with you, and I think that's why it's an Apple production. It would have to be, bro, because like, why with a cast like this, right? With the players that you have in here, you got Leo, you got Robert De Niro, Lily Gladstone coming back. I mean, you had a host of other people in that movie. Why wouldn't you want something like this coming out of your production house? Other than the fact that you read the script and you seen what this was about.
Okay. So I'm sitting here looking. So far now, it did get some Oscar nominees,
but it didn't win.
All I'm seeing right now is nominees. Yeah, all I see is nominees. They got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. So they got 10.
And remember that cast? That was Pacino, De Niro, Pesci. Well, Pesci
was nominated for.
And I think that was the important. Right, that was the first time they was all three in the movie, like in a minute.
Yeah, not all three.
Was that the first time they all three was in there?
I think so. If you're talking about the trio, yeah, the trio.
Yeah. See, that's what I'm saying. Like, yo, that's crazy. So to even know just like that, the fact that they didn't get a nod on any of that is nuts to me. You know what I'm saying? So I think it's either the Leo factor, maybe, you know what I'm saying? Maybe they got something against Scorsese. You know what I'm saying? Maybe they don't.
I don't think that they like the story. Because even the story that you think about in The Irishman, it's about Jimmy Hoffa.
Exactly.
We quote unquote still don't know what the fuck happened to his body, how he was murdered, or any of that shit. Like it's still.
But see, that,
like,
to me, that's a. Okay, so. I know it's about Hoffa, right? But we have this thing about the whole mob stories and all that shit that people are actually in love with, right? We had like we romanticized the Italian mafia to a point to where like it's okay to make movies about that. Godfather and, you know what I'm saying, The Goodfellas and all kind of this shit. Like it hasn't. I mean, Sopranos for that matter. Like, there hasn't been anything that we looked at and was like, I can't believe they putting this on film. I think this, though, this is totally different because this, what it does is it puts mainstream society at that time in a light where we've never seen them before, right? Because at the time, right, it was a thing where they were saying, like, you know, they were savages and natives were savages and all this other stuff. But then when you see this movie, you like, damn, they just was really kicking it. And here these motherfuckers come and they tearing apart families and neighborhoods and towns, and these motherfuckers just offing people. Like, they shot one motherfucker in the middle of a mud puddle. And this nigga had on an all-white suit. They didn't even care about that. Like, yeah, that's crazy. You know what I'm saying? They was the food was giving these motherfuckers diabetes. It was just crazy. The shit that they was going, they turned these motherfuckers into alcoholics, like all kind of shit. So, like, when you see this movie, you just looking at them like, yo, these motherfuckers are the real savages. And I think they was like, nah, we can't support that.
Yeah. Now, and I commend, you know, for everybody taking the role, because you brought up good points. Mm-hmm. Talk about, dude, I saw something today. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you saw it. It's a rumor, but do you know who could be the new couple that's out there? I'm just gonna tell you what I saw today.
Mm-hmm.
They said they saw Leo. And Teyana Taylor hugged up. That's all I'm saying.
Can we move on?
Can we? That's all I'm saying. That's all I'm saying. That's all I'm saying. That's all I'm saying. And so we already know, you know what I'm saying? He got Rihanna in his past. You know what I'm saying? Robert De Niro. He got mixed kids out here in these streets. He got his black wife.
Whoa. Time. What? Who got Rihanna in their past?
Leo.
Like dating?
Yeah. You don't remember that?
No.
That was like 2000, like 4 or 5 or some shit.
Oh yeah, I definitely wasn't paying that shit. I was in high school. I ain't give a fuck about that. But no, I didn't know that.
Yeah. That was maybe it wasn't that far back. Maybe it was more like 2010-ish.
I definitely wasn't paying attention to the thing. But that's crazy. Yeah, Rihanna.
Yeah.
I'm kicking this shit right now.
Nah, man. You know, Leo, he's go and get another baddie. But,
Nah. Let me tell you something, bro. She's a billionaire, my nigga. What are you talking about? Ain't no other baddie. There's no other baddie.
Hey, that's funny.
Listen, him, Drake, and Chris Brown are at the club right now getting drunk about this shit. Okay. She became a billionaire nigga, and Drake and Chris Brown became friends again. Hey man, nah. Hell nah. Ain't no go get another one. I mean, unless he's gonna get one of the Jenners.
Yo, that is hilarious. But but you brought up a good point though by just saying that, like, they rock with everybody. So I don't think they never really, like,
we know for sure.
I think reading the script, they probably was like, y'all know we ain't going, you know what I mean? I think Martin knew going into it. I'm gonna show up for a good time.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? But I think
we got nominated at least.
Yeah, we got nominated. Yeah. I think they kind of knew they wasn't gonna win anything.
So, I'll go ahead. Yeah. I'm sorry.
Just in closing, like, because of what this film shows and what it means and all that type of shit, I think they kind of knew that was going to get swept.
I agree. I definitely agree. So, the one movie that pretty much we were really focused on, well, I don't know about you, but I was really focused on, was Oppenheimer. I had a feeling that they were going to get, you know what I'm saying, a lot of nominations. I didn't expect them to win as much, though, because usually when a movie does this well, yo, the Oscar, it's like the Oscars be like, nah, we can't get them no awards. Look how much money they made. It's like the Oscars feel like they got to go against the grain every time, bro. And I was so shocked when I started seeing Oppenheimer win the awards. Now, if you watch this, the first half of it, you know, you were hearing a lot of, you know, Oppenheimer being brought up. And of course, they were winning, you know, like cinematography and all that. And that's cool. Like, we get it. The big awards, though, were the ones that I was focused on. Like we said earlier, you had actor in a leading role with Cillian Murphy winning. The nominees were Bradley Cooper, Coleman Domingo, Paul Giamatti, and Jeffrey Wright. Now, Coleman Domingo plays a very interesting role in Rustin. For those who don't know what Rustin is, it's the movie about civil rights leader Bayard Rustin, who, you know, he was with Martin Luther King, the rest of the civil rights icons that we hear about and learn about in school. Bayard Rustin was one of them that we didn't learn about, apparently, because nobody knows who this guy is. And I was shocked to hear, like, a lot of people didn't know who he is. I was also shocked to hear about, like, they were bringing up him being gay.
Well, Coleman Domingo is, but
no, Bayard Rustin is as well.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that's what they were talking about. Or secretly, I guess. I don't know.
Sometimes he probably had these.
Of course, yeah. Coleman Domingo though. I don't really know a lot of his work, I guess. So I mean, maybe you've seen him or something.
Yeah, I seen him in, you know, Fear the Walking Dead. When we did that podcast, you haven't seen it yet. So you did end up seeing the newest Candyman. Remember when we were supposed to see the Candyman, but you didn't see the new one?
Yeah, the
new one, right?
Yeah, well, yeah.
Yeah, he's in that.
Okay, so he hasn't really had like major roles though. And I'm gonna be honest with you, I didn't watch Fear the Walking Dead. That shit, no. It was either Walking Dead or Bust for me, brother. I'm sorry. I couldn't do it, man.
Yeah, I got in it for a while.
Yeah.
But then it was just like, yo, I can't.
It started to get like, even The Walking Dead started to get repetitive for me. It was like, goddamn, they can't catch a break.
Yeah, I had to end up getting out of it. But you know what I'm saying? He ended up being like, he was in A Color Purple, which I didn't see the new Color Purple.
We gotta talk about that shit too.
He was in Transformers: Rise of the Beast. I did see that, but I don't remember him in it.
I don't either. Maybe he was a voice.
Possibly. You know, he was in Euphoria.
I did see him in that.
I forgot about that. He was in that. He was a Rue's support person. Damn, I don't remember him in Without Remorse.
I don't either. I don't even know who this dude is. That's what I'm saying. Like, so I don't. I mean, I gotta go and watch Rustin just to see, but I don't know.
Did you see Ma Rainey's Black Bottom? The Netflix movie?
No, sir.
Okay. Well, so you remember in Candyman, right? You remember the guy that ran the laundromat? Okay. Well, that's him.
Okay. So I had this thing last year that all of last year I tried to avoid movies with black trauma or movies about black trauma. So anything that had black trauma in it, I wasn't watching.
He do a lot of time.
Yes. Okay, that's dope. But yeah, like, nah, I had to take a break from that shit because it was like everything that was coming out. Yeah. See, nah, hell nah. I'm not nah. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to be disrespectful, but no, I'm not. I can't do that, bro. I'm gonna try to watch Rustin. I'm not gonna lie to you. I'm definitely gonna try to watch it, but I'd rather read about them if we're gonna do all that. I don't want to watch a movie because I don't know, man. It's just something about them when they be putting out these black movies, bro. I got to figure out who in these writing rooms, who helped them put these stories together, because it's always some bullshit. It's always some bullshit. I'm sick of it. Why can't we just have a movie where we happy for a fucking change? You know what I'm saying? Sick of this shit. Anyway, let me get off my soapbox. Paul Giamatti holdovers, Jeffrey Wright, American Fiction. I feel like Jeffrey Wright, man, for the work that he's done over the years. And my first introduction to Jeffrey Wright as somebody who, like, I continued to watch after seeing him was in Shaft when he played Peoples.
Okay.
Yo, brilliant. You feel what I'm saying? Brilliant in that film. Because I really believe that this nigga was like a Hispanic dude. I really thought this nigga was like Puerto Rican or like Dominican or something. No, I mean, like, that's how well he played the role. I mean, he looked, if you watch it, you can see him. He kind of looked like one of them. And I don't know if, you know what I'm saying, he was like part or whatever, but I mean, like, I really believe that this nigga was, you know. And then I seen him in fucking, give me a minute because it's coming to me. The Hunger Games. I'm about to call that shit the Hangover Games. The Hunger Games. But I see him in the Hunger Games, and I'm like, yo, this nigga is not who I thought he was. Like, he's really amazing. Like, he does some great work. So I had to actually go back and watch a few things that he was in, and I mean, I was thoroughly impressed. So to know that he was doing a movie like American Fiction, which to me is really just a stab at a few of the black elites in Hollywood, I thought that was dope. You know what I'm saying? I thought it was real dope. I didn't know Sterling K. Brown was in it, though. So now I really got to go watch it, because that's my guy. But, you know, Cillian Murphy winning that, I really didn't see any of the other films. So, like you said Paul Giamatti did an amazing job. But, I mean, to me, Cillian Murphy, that was his to take anyway. Between what Barbie did, what Oppenheimer did in this summer, I think that was a brilliant marketing strategy from the both of them. To realize that they're both coming out around the same time. So, hey, we gonna make this a whole thing. That worked very well for Kanye West and 50 Cent as well. And, I mean, you've seen the results. Like, that's all people were talking about. Actor in a supporting role, the winner, of course, was Robert Downey Jr. Nominees were Sterling K. Brown, Robert De Niro, Ryan Gosling, Mark Ruffalo. We kind of already went over that, but like I said, Robert De Niro to me is 1A, 1B with him and Robert Downey Jr. I really don't have really too much input on that one.
I mean, we really went over it already, kind of. But like, I think that for what Oppenheimer did,
mm-hmm.
like, I think going into it, even the actors were like, yo, like, what Robert Downey Jr. and what Cillian Murphy did in Oppenheimer, like, that shit was just, you know what I mean? I think even I think they was even really fans of that shit. Like, yeah. Like, my name is really probably not going to be called. Yeah. But I do think they got this right.
Absolutely.
Like, this is a year where I'm not like too mad.
I agree.
Only was nominated. The stuff that I'm mad about was the thing that wasn't nominated at all.
Oh no! Wait a minute. So you saying what was? I thought you were talking about the winners. You saying what was nominated?
Well, okay. What I'm saying is, like, the winners that ended up, like the nominees and the winners, I'm not mad at.
Okay.
Only thing I'm mad at is what we talked about, like, your pre-pro, where, you know, I went over, like, all the movies that I watched last year.
Yeah.
And it's like, none of them got any recognition. So that's what I mean. But the stuff that was nominated, I'm not mad at the winners. Like, right. I don't think it, like, with the stuff that was nominated, I don't think it was, like, a situation where somebody got snubbed. necessarily.
Okay.
Like, I think with the nominations, I don't think that it was like a snub.
I feel like Spider-Man Across the Spider-Verse, they necessarily didn't get snubbed, but I feel like they didn't get the win.
Well, that was the only one I saw, so.
Yeah, I don't necessarily, I mean, I'm gonna be honest. Okay, I will say it's a snub because the rest of these I never heard of.
Me neither.
Right? I never seen them promoted. I never seen them marketed, nothing. But they definitely won, right? Well, The Boy and the Heron won. And I believe that might be anime. So I understand if that's anime, then I know why it won. If not, then I have no idea why that shit won. Spider-Man Across the Spider-Verse, I think it really kind of suffered a little bit because I think people are starting to have Marvel MCU fatigue because it's like they hitting you over the head so much with everything is just they throwing something at you, you know what I'm saying, like every quarter at this point, whether it's a movie or a TV show, it's like you kind of can't keep up with it unless you're really into it. But I feel like Spider-Man Across the Spider-Verse definitely took an L. Cinematography, like I said, Oppenheimer, man, it was amazing.
I agree. Like I said, the only stuff, like I said, Spider-Man Across the Spider-Verse, so that was really about... Really, the only thing that I could kind of say was a snub, but like I said, at the same time, it's the only thing that I really saw.
Mm-hmm.
But I feel like, let me see. And the only other movie that I even seen that was mentioned was, I'm trying to remember what it was nominated for, was, what do you call it? Guardians of the Galaxy.
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
that was the only other movie that I seen. Oh, and The Creator. The Creator was in for sound.
Okay.
And Guardians of the Galaxy was in for visual effects. Other than that, I didn't see any of the other movies.
Right.
And the only other movie that I remember that made a lot of noise, that got nominated but didn't win anything, was the Mission Impossible. Mission Impossible
movie. Yeah, that's only because of Tom Cruise. He's a media darling, so that's I get that. Costume design is another one I feel like that could have went anyway.
If you at least seen the preview for Poor Things, I get why they got it.
No, I'm saying I can't say I agree because I haven't seen anything about Poor Things, but out of those five movies that were nominated, or out of the five movies that were nominated, right? Poor Things was the winner, Barbie, Killers of the Flower Moon, Napoleon, and then Oppenheimer. So to me, I seen three: Oppenheimer, Napoleon, and Killers of the Flower Moon. I feel like any one of those three could have won. And the only reason I'm saying that is because it's a little bit easier, and I understand why Poor Things won, because Poor Things is pretty much its own thing, right? Like, it's not, it might be from a book or something like that, but for the most part, it's its own thing.
Yeah.
Barbie is kind of a given. Like, everybody knows what the fuck a Barbie is. So we know what Barbie can be. She can be dressed up as goddamn anything at this point. You know what I'm saying? But Killers of the Flower Moon, Napoleon, and Oppenheimer, they're all period pieces. And because they're period pieces, you have to genuinely dress like you're in that time. And that's why I kind of say, like, any one of those could have been a toss-up, because, I mean, for Barbie, you know, you could have had her dressed as any of the Barbies. You know what I'm saying? Or you just could have had all of them dressed up as a Barbie. You know what I'm saying? For Killers of the Flower Moon, you know, to have authentic garb of, you know what I'm saying, the nation represented, and, you know what I'm saying, the people of that time, you know, suspenders and certain hats and shirts and all that. Napoleon, like, they literally had on, like, the military outfits of France at the time. And then Oppenheimer, like, the way people dressed at that time, you know, in the, what was it, the 40s, 30s, 40s? Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, just to have all of those be properly represented. That's what I said, like, that could have really been a toss-up. I'm sure Poor Things probably, you know what I'm saying, knocked that shit out the park, but within those, I feel like that could have been a toss-up.
Yeah, and Poor Things kind of remind me of, like, you know what I'm saying, kind of like a Willy Wonka type of thing.
Okay, well, now I get it then. Yeah.
But it's kind of like, you know what I'm saying, it is kind of, it is a period piece, but it's like that weird period where, like, you know what I'm saying, where you're wearing, like, you know, outrageous dresses and,
yeah,
you know what I mean, and stuff like that. And like I said, I seen the trailer for it. Like, basically Emma Stone is like they like fuck with her brain. I don't know if they like created her, like kind of like a Frankenstein type of situation.
Mm-hmm.
And like, so she was like in a grown up body, but she was had the brain of a child.
Of a child, okay.
Yeah, you know what I mean? And you know what I'm saying? It was just like I said, I watched the trailer, I was like, this just don't really seem like something I would really kind of be into like that. But right. I mean, from the trailer, I understand why Emma ended up winning. You know, it's just really kind of her time in a way. But I just really think that, I hate to say this, and I ain't trying to get back on this conversation, I think that they just really didn't want to give it to Lily Gladstone.
I agree.
I think they didn't really want to give them any wins. Like I think they were kind of, with the way that the year went, I think they was kind of forced to put Killers of the Flower Moon in there as much as they did.
That's why I said, like, they wanted to give it recognition, but they damn sure didn't want none of it to win.
Yeah, so I just think that's how they end up falling. But I mean, but if I'm not mistaken, I believe Poor Things went 4-7, if I'm not mistaken.
Okay.
And but yeah, like I said, man,
they cleaned up.
I mean, look, man. Yeah, and it's
Oppenheimer.
Yeah, and Oppenheimer went 7-13, so
mm-hmm.
which was deserving, because usually when it comes to the Oscars, it's always like some shit where it's like, here we go. Y'all naming a whole bunch of shit that I don't even know.
Yeah.
But there's only been a few times where I actually, and I can remember the times. I'm not going to be 100% at this, but like, for me, like movies that, you know what I'm saying, won like Best Picture and, you know, and got like a lot of recognition. Mm-hmm. Like, it was Oppenheimer for me, Inception for me, Spotlight for me. I remember I went and watched it only because it won a lot. Birdman a few years back. It was
Birdman killed. They cleaned up.
Yeah, and I was like, man, I gotta watch. I gotta see what the fuss is about. And the only other movie was Moonlight. And even
that was the debacle at the end with them in La La Land, right?
Yeah, because they said La La Land, yeah. And then it was like, wait a minute, like the cards say, and everybody from La La Land was on the stage, and they was like, well, the cards say Moonlight.
Yeah, that was wild.
That was crazy as fuck, right?
Yeah, and I think that goes to kind of, you know what I'm saying, show like, yo, they really didn't fuck with, you know what I mean, certain movies. So I can see why Killers of the Flower Moon is one of the movies that they're going to be like, mm-mm, we can't have that shit again.
Yeah, it's, look, man, I think when it comes to Martin, like your last two, dude, so he went either 0-9 or 0-10 this time, mm-hmm. and then he went 0-10 with fucking The Irishman. They got nominated 10 times for The Irishman.
Okay, this is my only thing about Scorsese films, bro. Right? Like, it's always like, he don't make shit outside of, I mean, he probably do, but like, well, the shit that he's known for,
No,
I'm saying, like, the shit that he's known for is always like some cultural shit, right? Like some shit that, like, it has like a connection to something in real life. He don't never just, like, he's not really known for making a fucking film where it's just like, it's just a film where it's a creative fucking film that has nothing to do with no mafia, no, events in history, just like make a fucking film. Like, I get The Irishman was a great movie. Fucking Killers of the Flower Moon is a great movie, but it's like, bro, you like to stay in this lane for your like for damn near your whole career is, come on, man.
Even The Wolf of Wall Street was something based that quote-unquote happened. Yeah,
that's what I'm saying. It's based on an actual person. That's what I'm saying. Like everything that this motherfucker makes is all it has some connection to either history or something like a real event or a real person. Or it's like, bro, break away from that one time. Get creative. Come up with some shit and make a fucking movie.
Yo, movie, Shutter Island.
To me, that's the and that's the best one that I can think of to where he literally came up with some shit and was like, nobody will ever be able to fuck with this for real. And I feel like nobody can fuck with that movie. But if you think about it, that movie didn't get no real recognition. Like you, if you talk to somebody about Shutter Island today, nobody will even know that movie exists for real.
Yeah.
And that cast was crazy.
Yeah, they'll know about The Departed and The Aviator and shit like that, but yeah.
You see what I'm saying? All of that shit got something to do with the connect. The party got something to do with mafia in Boston. The Aviator is about a motherfucker who was flying planes for it. Like, bro, all of that shit is literally connected to real events or real people. When he makes Shutter Island, as amazing as that movie was, as phenomenal as that movie was, and the cast, I'm talking about the cast, everything about that movie is fire. Nobody knows about it.
Yep.
You see what I'm saying? Like, bro, that's crazy, man. Have you seen, because you brought up Willy Wonka, have you seen the new Willy Wonka with Timothy Chalamet?
No.
Is that how you pronounce his last name? Chalamet?
Something like that.
Yeah, you haven't seen it yet?
Nah.
Okay. I just seen it was out on, I think, Max. So I was like, yo.
Yeah, I'm gonna be honest with you, man. Last one I seen, man, was Gene Wilder, man.
You didn't even see the one with Johnny Depp?
Nope.
Damn. That was a pretty good one. But Gene Wilder one is a classic for sure. No, I seen the trailer for it on Max. Well, not the trailer, but the thing pop up on Max about it. And I was laughing because I was like, bro, this movie is about a nigga that run a sweatshop. And nobody has said nothing about this. This nigga runs a fucking sweatshop in Britain or wherever the fuck they're supposed to be at. But he runs a sweatshop. He runs a candy sweatshop. And nobody ever says anything about it. Even when they left, nobody said anything about it, bro.
And then he had little people slaves.
That's why I said it's a sweatshop, because those are not little people. Those are fucking kids, bro. Hear me out. The one with Johnny Depp, right? When they actually go to the factory and shit. Remember, even in the one with Gene Wilder, they don't let no press in. No press, no cameras, no nothing. You're a reporter, you can't come in there. Get the fuck on. Right? Real secretive. Big ass factory. Right? You ain't never heard of, they don't never mention a nigga that they know that worked there, got a job there, none of that. They ain't never seen no employees come in, ain't never seen no employees come out. You ain't never seen a nigga on the smoke break, no nothing, the lunch, nothing, right? They go in there, next thing you know, it looked like little people at first. You just see these little motherfuckers come out and they dancing and singing and shit. Right, when you think about it, in the movie with Johnny Depp, he talked about how he got lost on the island one time. They helped him out, and then next thing you know, he brought him here, and then they start working for him. I'm telling you, sweatshop. Wonka runs a sweatshop. That's what this movie should be called. But that's just my theory. That's my conspiracy theory about Willy Wonka. But that shit just popped up to me when I was looking at the thing. I'm like, man, this motherfucker got a bunch of little money. And I thought about it. I was like, wait a minute. Them ain't little people, bro. They're fucking kids, bro. That's a metaphor for kids. That nigga was running a sweatshop. But what else was I about to ask you? I asked you about Timothy Chalamet new Willy Wonka, which I don't understand why they got him playing Willy Wonka right now. Because he just dropped Doom 2.
I have no
idea. That's weird as fuck.
I think he might, you know what it might be?
Are they trying to make him like the new It Hollywood dude?
Maybe, because I got a theory.
Mm-hmm.
Because Tom Holland is like on pause right now. Because, you know what I'm saying?
True.
What he went through with doing the crowded room and all of that, he's taking a break from acting.
Yeah.
Because it seemed like he was on that run.
He was.
And because, you know what I'm saying, he went through, you know what I'm saying, all the mental stuff he went through with that, he's taking a break.
Yeah.
Because if you look, it's like, I mean, even when you look at Doom, it's like, you know, like Tom Holland probably would have murdered that shit. I'm just saying. And Zendaya's in it.
I know. That's what I better say. I feel like he shouldn't be in that because she's in it. Right?
They're dating in Spider-Man.
I thought they was dating in real life.
They are dating in real life.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. That's too much, bro.
Okay.
Nah, that's too much exposure, bro. Brad and Angelina only did one movie.
They did.
You know what I'm saying? They only did one movie. That's enough. We don't need to keep seeing them on screen. Because it'll kill the effect. Because if you see them too much, they not Hollywood's favorite couple. Motherfuckers gonna start being like, all right, enough of this shit. You know what I'm saying? That's how it worked. They haters, man, in real life. You know what I'm saying? Timothy Chalamet, you know what I'm saying? They fuck with the boy. I mean, they really fuck with this dude, bro. Like, this motherfucker's on everything, but it's like the girls be fawning over him. He's the man right now. I gotta give him his credit. He is the man right now. I think next year might fuck around and be his year.
It might be, man. From what I'm hearing, I mean, we could close it out, but you know, a lot of people are saying Doom, because see, the first one, I went to sleep on that shit like three times, like, and I think because it was building.
I just recently tried to watch this shit and fell asleep on it.
Man, but they say Doom 2 because the story is already, you know what I mean? They say it's a lot more action and you know, all this type of stuff. So a lot of people say Doom 2 is really good, but
yeah. You know, that's what I was about to tell you, bro. Documentaries. Before we get out of here, we gotta cover this shit. Documentaries. I felt like they pulled a very political move at that moment.
Yeah, because the one that won was about the Ukraine shit.
Exactly. Over To Kill a Tiger, Four Daughters, The Eternal Memory, and Bobby Wine, the People's President. Never seen none of this shit. And the winner was called 20 Days in Mariupol. I guess he was there in Ukraine during the war or whatever. That was a very, very political move. Because not only did he talk about Ukraine, he brought up Gaza as well. And I thought that was like, that was weird for me. Not only was that weird for me, it's way better documentaries out there. You know what I'm saying? I feel like Lover, Killer, Stalker definitely should have got a nod, because that shit was phenomenal. You know what I'm saying? Like, bro, the Octopus Murders is a great, you know what I'm saying, documentary. It was some great docs last year that definitely should have got the nod. And it leads me to my last thing I want to talk about with you. If you have anything, we can go after this. Fucking streaming. They got to come up with an award for streaming or something, bro. Like, or at least come up with like a separate section for streaming, because none of the shit on streaming ever seems to be like getting the proper love it deserves outside of like, I think like Stranger Things got an Emmy nod. Like, outside of the Emmys, you don't really see too much about none of the shit. Well, I guess you could say Killers of the Flower Moon, but not really, because I don't know how to really describe that one. That's a little different.
Well, because Martin Scorsese was the first person to do it. Right. So the Oscars came up with this whole thing of like, the only way you could be nominated for Oscar is your movie has to be in theaters. So he was the first person to do it with The Irishman.
Right.
Where he was like, well, I want The Irishman to drop in the theater right. as well.
Right.
And he got 10 nods. So the only one that I can think of off the top of my head was Luther, The Fallen Son.
That was in theaters, though.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. But they didn't get any recognition for it. But that's what I'm saying. That I can think of that was a streaming type of movie.
Right.
Because like I said, that dropped same day.
Yeah.
Same way Irishman did.
Yeah.
Killers of the Flower Moon went to the theaters.
Yeah, we had to work to get that.
A month or two. Mm-hmm. Maybe like two months. Mm-hmm. And then they put it on Apple.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, I feel you. There needs to be something. But this is the problem. The problem is going to end up being, it's not going to be as prestigious as what an Oscar would be.
No, I'm saying still make it an Oscar, but give them the category of streaming something. Like,
put that way. Oh, I thought you meant their own award.
No. I'm saying, like, because I think a lot of these movies that we watch, right? A lot of the movies that we watch as a society really are from the streaming services. Right. Netflix has a boatload of movies that they've, you know what I'm saying, have originals of and so on and so forth. Hulu, Apple, you know what I'm saying, Prime, like, yo, they're really putting out some great projects and they're not getting the recognition that they deserve. And I feel like a lot of these movies that we see on these streaming services, not for nothing, be better than a lot of these fucking movies we go to see and pay for $20 at the fucking gate, and then you got to pay another $100 just to enjoy yourself.
All facts.
Yeah, like all this. I just feel like there should be some type of recognition for, you know what I'm saying, those products coming out of the streaming services. I mean, even if you give them best movie on a streaming platform or whatever, who cares? Just put that in there, because that is a part of Hollywood today. You know what I'm saying? That's really a part of Hollywood today. And I feel like that should really be at the forefront of, you know what I'm saying, what we're seeing. Even if you don't want to put them up there with best picture or whatever, because, you know, you don't want to take away from that movie-going experience, give them their own category and let them battle it out there. You know what I'm saying? But we definitely need to start getting some recognition for these streaming services for sure.
1,000% agree.
Yeah, man. And that's that. You got anything else, man?
Man, real quick. The only two things that I am upset about not being mentioned. I just mentioned one: Luther and the Fallen Son, and Creed 3. I just don't see
I forgot about Creed 3, bro.
Nothing. That's it. I mean,
because
I'll be here another 30 minutes.
No, I want you. Now that I think about that, damn.
I just wanted to mention that, man.
You're right about that.
I felt like those were two really, really, really good movies, and
absolutely,
they didn't get any recognition at all. So I just wanted to mention that.
Yeah, I agree. I definitely agree. That's crazy. Let's get into the coming soon, man.
Let's do it.
Coming soon to own on video and DVD.
Okay, so last time we told you guys that we were going to get into Selena and Yolanda. So that's going to be the next episode, you know. We already kind of, you know what I'm saying, went over it. For those who don't know the story, Selena was one of the hottest international music stars at the time, and she was killed by her quote-unquote number one fan. And this tells the story all about it. You know, it goes back and it recaps, you know, Selena's career and, you know, a bunch of different things. If you don't know anything about it, go check it out. Go watch it. Also, go check out the Selena movie with Jennifer Lopez. You'll find that behind that everybody keeps saying that she has. She was thick as fuck in that movie, bro. I'm not gonna lie. That shit was crazy. As she continued to get like more famous, she lost it. But in that movie, sheesh, that motherfucker was there. I'm sorry, but yeah, I had to recognize that motherfucker was crazy. So yeah, go check that out. That's part of the reason I fell in love with Jennifer Lopez. Trying to think what else. Oh, if you enjoyed this episode, if you didn't like this episode, if you too feel like that the Oscars need a new host, because I think that's another reason this shit gets boring and boring as it was going on. Jimmy Kimmel, they gotta get him the fuck out of there. We need somebody new. Jimmy Kimmel is not funny. He's not interesting.
Well, I tried Chris Rock and got slapped.
No. We don't need Chris Rock either. Quit bringing these old ass comedian people to the fucking find some young talent, man. Bring some fresh talent in this motherfucker, bro. Somebody who can relate to the people. You know what I'm saying? That's why people don't watch this shit. Who want to go in there and see Jimmy Kimmel?
Well, they got a night show that says people want to see him.
Man, people turn that shit on TV and fall asleep. Don't nobody watch that shit, man. Niggas ain't watched the night show since Jay Leno and what's the other dude? Yeah, them two. Nobody watching no fucking late night TV no more. Niggas got cable. Stop it. And streaming services. You know what I'm saying? Speaking of, bro, we gotta hear this, I promise. Did you know that when Trevor Noah was on The Daily Show, that he had the number one night show out of all of them?
Well, that was surprising.
I didn't know that. I just found that out like maybe a month or two ago because somebody was on the TikTok talk. I've been on TikTok like crazy. Somebody was on TikTok talking about it, and they was like, yo, Trevor Noah was like the number one night show for a long fucking time. Bring Trevor Noah to the goddamn Oscars, as a matter of fact. He was a great host.
Yeah, I wouldn't be mad at that.
Yeah, I'm with that. I do too. And everybody loves Trevor Noah, so it's not like ain't nobody not gonna watch that. But yeah, Jimmy Kimmel, get him the fuck out of here. But hit us up on our socials, Instagram, Twitter, at VA9Pod. You can follow us on Facebook, VA Pod Watch Group. You can also follow us on YouTube, subscribe, hit those like buttons, comment down below so we know you're there. We can shout you out. We can talk to you. You know what I'm saying? And don't forget to subscribe to our paid episodes, $2.99 a month. Description is always in the bio. I'm sorry, in the link is always in the description. Goodness gracious, going too fast for my own good. You can click it, you can sign up, you can do everything else from that link. So make sure you click that link down there in the description, and enjoy those episodes. We got some more coming for you. And if you want to follow me, you can follow me on Twitter at Scoots Bronson. I have a link tree in my bio. You can follow me everywhere else there.
And y'all can find me at s.foster8 on Instagram and on X at 28 Minutes or Less Pod. That is on IG. And also, it is on TikTok. Follow the podcast, 28 Minutes or Less. I dropped two episodes. I had to drop an emergency episode. So I dropped 146. Which is called Experiment, where I think that they are, I think you would enjoy that one, man. I use the examples from the 70s with the black exploitation films, the explosion of black films in the 90s, and I think they're doing an experiment on us with these Tubi movies. I think that they're just trying to take black people and use us and to show us how dumb we can be, and they're going to start shortchanging us. But I think the whole
not for nothing. That is a great fucking observation. But you know what I think they're doing? I think that they're moving us to do the same thing that Fox did.
I see what you're saying. So I dropped that episode 146. It's called Experiment. And I also did an emergency episode 147, which I said, respect the Lady Cox, okay? Because they're not putting any respect. I thought you would like that. They're not putting any respect on this team, man. These girls are 32-0, man. And they just, all they're talking about is Caitlin Clark all year. You know what I'm saying? So, you know what I'm saying? I went in on that. I went in on the, I talked about the Tennessee game because I sat there and watched that whole game Saturday. The game Sunday with the whole fight situation. You know what I'm saying? I went in on Kim Mulkey. You know what I'm saying? Because she's on that bullshit. So, yeah. So, if y'all
Kim into who? Kim Mulkey. Okay. Okay.
Yeah. You had to, her nun dressing ass. You know what I'm saying? So I had to get on her.
Yeah, her pants would be trash, bro. Like, yeah. She's horrible. It's a coach for, I think, the Longhorns. I think she coached for the Longhorns, but fire.
Yeah, bro, you stupid.
No, I mean, like, I'm talking about her outfits. Fire.
Yeah.
Like, she put that shit on, boy. You hear me? I'm talking about on. Like, fire.
Not for nothing, Don Staley be sharp about that.
No, Don Staley's just fine. That don't count.
So,
Don Staley could come out there in a box and look good. Don Staley's just fine. She got it. I don't get that.
Yeah. Yeah, so go check those episodes out, though, man. I got two new ones out there in the world.
For sure, bro. Hey, man, speaking of, because I got to go listen to both of these. The name, you might want to change that name. I don't know if people, well, I take it back. You might not want to change that name because people are going to click on that thinking it's something totally different than what it actually is.
Well, me being now, even though I've always said this, like my fan base isn't necessarily like where I am in South Carolina, but the people,
right?
The people here know.
Yeah.
Like, you know,
no, I'm sure. Yeah, I'm sure that they show that all the time. But I'm saying that's
dude, that's down it. Here, you could just be driving and you'll see a tag that say,
"Oh yeah." No, I'm already here.
Just got Cox.
My cousin came down there for a vacation one time and he was telling me, because he came back up with a hat. So, but he was telling me, like, it's all across, like, billboards and everything. So when he came up there with the hat, I looked at the hat. I was like, dude, what's going on? He was like, what? I was like, what's going on? He was like, oh, no, man. He turned around and had the logo. It was like, South Carolina. I was like, oh, okay. I was about to say, because that's not the hat you want to be walking around with at all. That's crazy. So, listen, ladies and gentlemen, thank you guys for joining us. Thank you guys for tuning in. Thank you guys for watching. Your support is always greatly appreciated. Without you, there could be no us. Until the next episode, like they say in Hollywood,
that's a wrap.
Cut.
That's right. Go Cox.